Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and thank him. He did what we couldn't do for ourselves. Go ahead and thank him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Come on, thank him. Yes, amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Now, I'm going to, you can get your Bible out, but I'm going to put it up, I'm going to put it up here for you, so you won't even have to get your Bible out. It'll be right here. You can see it. You can read it right here off the screen. But we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. You know, a lady who sent a lot of, you know, I've been spending a lot of work, a lot of time in the funeral homes lately, a lot. And I run, and it's always talking about the obituary, the paid obituary, and the Paul Funeral Home obituary, and all the others. Well, a lady sent in a very long obituary for her husband. The paper called and told her that the cost was so much per word. Oh my, she said. They just changed that to George died. The paper then told her there was a 5-word minimum. Well, she said, make that George died Buick for sale. Well, he don't need his car anymore. Amen. Okay. So I saw that one over like a little balloon. I actually gave my wife a glue stick instead of her lipstick. She still isn't talking to me. I was going to put my Bible. Get your Bible out. Of course, here it is. The way it really is, getting our way back our focus. I was reading about in Ohio, and I don't know the full story. I do know this was the headlines. And in the headlines, of course, it said this high school speech was filled with hate speech. And I said, that's not good. And then when I got looking at it, God was quoting the Bible. And I said, are we coming to that now? That we Christians have to just keep our mouth shut. Don't open the word, just keep our mouth shut. And let everything just keep rolling like it's rolling. Well, you know what? As I began reading that, I thought about this, the way it really is. Getting back our focus. Let's stand for reading the word. The word right up here. You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to read it. Read it with me. Here it goes. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above us stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the persons were moved, and the voice of him that cried in the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am. Send me. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well. I know that you are on your throne. I know, God, that there is absolutely nothing, and I do mean nothing, that can stand before you. There's nothing, Lord, that can defeat you. You've never cried defeat. You've never cried retreat. You've always stood, and you know what you want. You're the creator of all. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, in this time that we're living in, where right is called wrong and wrong is called right, and they talk about everybody getting along as long as you're not a Christian talking about the Bible. We're all getting along. God, that's not all getting along. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint us today, God. Help us, Lord, to understand that you do have a way and you do have a will. and that you still are in control, even though it doesn't seem like it. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Everybody, you be seated. So, King Uzziah had been the king for over 50 years. While King Uzziah was king, God did some amazing things. God caused this place to be politically strong. It caused them to physically have abundance. It caused them spiritually to put God first. It was just amazing all the things that was happening in the kingdom. And so now the king has died. Now at the end, he did go down kind of bad at the very end, but all this other time, he did good. He did really, really good for this country. And so here he is, he dies, and when he dies, everything falls all to pieces. Isaiah is looking for strength. He's trying to talk to God, and he's talking to God. God says, I know that Uzziah died, but I need you to come into the house of God. That's one reason why. Think about COVID. Think about other things. They can leave the bars open, but you couldn't have a church. That's another reason why I wanted to shut the church down, because we have the answer. Amen? We've got it. So here it is. God told Isaiah, go into my house, and you'll find the answer to what you need. And so, there are several times, politically, physically, spiritually, we live in that same time. Politically, wow. It drives me nuts, because there's so much flip-flopping, and there's so much jumping up and down, and so many people blaming. And look, you don't have to think like me. You don't have to agree with everything I say, but we can pull together and fix something. Amen? Just because we don't agree on everything doesn't mean that we can't fix it. We should be able to, our Congress and others, to pull together and place aside their differences and make something work. Because this is about the country. It's not about a party. It's about the country. This country is made up of both parties and then some, and we need to be pulling for everybody. But that's not how it works. Okay, so politically, we're in a mess. I mean, a mess. And physically, wow. Think about all the shutdowns and all the supply chain issues and the baby formula and all the stuff that's going on over in Ukraine. Think about what's happening over there, and it's affecting the whole world. And spiritually, wow. This is one of the craziest times I've ever lived in. I cannot imagine what it would have been like to be in Jesus' day, because it was really very, very hard during that time. But I'm telling you, I understand now how the Antichrist can come and set up his reign, because the world is so crazy right now and looking for an answer. It'll be easy for the Antichrist to come and do what he's trying to do. So, and think about these unstable times. And you know, the biggest problem I see in this world is that we've lost our focus. We've taken our eyes off God. Though we've taken our eyes off God, we've taken our eyes off his word. We've taken our eyes off of his statutes. And instead, when it talks about God now, people shake their fists and say, take it down, because it offends me. And the reason it offends them is not because it's offending them, it's convicting them. There's a difference. And because it brings conviction, we don't want it. We would have been doing our own thing. And so because of that, look at what's going on in this world today. It's going crazy. I can't imagine. I can't remember. I'm 62 years old. I can't remember a time like we live in. Can you? Can you think about, y'all, some of you are older than me. And I remember listening to Kathleen, listening to Billy, and Mary, the older ones, and they said, we've never seen anything like this. You know, that was a couple of years ago. Now it's even, wow, every day is like being on a roller coaster. And it used to be, I'd say, what can happen next? And now I think it is a challenge. And, okay, guess what's going to happen next? So today, I really believe with all my heart that God just told me, I just want you to come in. And I want you to help people get a focus together. Because you know what? All this stuff that's going on affects every last one of us. When I go to the gas station, I pay $5.09 for gas per gallon. That affects me. When I go to the store and chicken used to cost $3 for a pack, now it costs $12 a pack, that affects me. When I hear little babies can't get formula because there's none around, that affects me. When I see some of the stuff going on around here and some of the junk that's going around being sold to all of us that pushed down our throat, that affects me. Not only does it affect me, it affects y'all too. Amen? And it's time to look, in order for us to do anything, to affect any change, we first have to be affected. In order for us to instigate any kind of change, we have to be changed first. And so today, I want you to watch this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to change our focus. I'm not saying your focus is not on God, but I hope after today your focus will be stronger than it's been in a long time. Amen? So watch these. The way it really, I hear people say, well, they just tell it like it is. Well, let me just tell you something. When somebody tells me they're just telling it like it is, it kind of scares me. Because there's only one person who knows how it really is. That's God.
That's right.
He's the only one. I can tell you how I see it. I can tell you how I believe it. But the only one person can tell you how it really is God. So watch this. Get our focus back. So watch this. Here we go. I love it. So, again, in the year that King Uzziah died, everybody's born in King Uzziah. They're mourning and everything's falling. All the pieces all around them. And God tells Isaiah, come here, I want you to see something. I want you to see something. Yeah, there's a vacant seat in a vacant throne where the king sat. Let me tell you something. Where God sits, that throne has never been relinquished. Amen. That throne is full. It's got God on it. Amen. He's there. The Father is there. And nobody can take him off of it. Amen. So he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Back in that day, many kingdoms were all around, and there was all kinds of kings, but the kings were more like governors. And then there was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That was the main king that all the other kings had to report to. And so, watch him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rules all things. Y'all say all things.
All things.
All things. Y'all say it again. All things. Look, he's in control. He always has been. He always will be in control. He's the absolute supreme ruler of everything. And I'm going to tell you, I promise you this. Look, nobody can vote him out of office. Nobody can vote him in office. He's the one that created the office. Amen. God is in control. Somebody say, God's in control. Y'all say it. Come over here. God's in control. Amen. So look, what's this? I love it. He said he saw him high and lifted up. Amen. Which means he's above all things. Nothing has dominion over him. Everything is under our God. Amen. All governments, all power, all people, everything is under God's control. Even you and your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like to think about that when things are going crazy. I remember God's watching. And God's got this. Amen. If I've ever learned anything, was the faith of Bethany. It's all like, God's got it, Dad. God's got it. God's got it. Either way I win, Dad, God's got this. Dad, God's got this. You know, and when she died, we had 300 something pain pills left. I don't know how many fentanyl patches. Had it all incinerated. Carried it to the sheriff's office and incinerated it. But she wouldn't wear that stuff a lot of times because she said, Daddy, I know I'm in pain, but I want to keep my head because I want to know what's going on. And I want to be able to give God glory and talk to God. And she says, Dad, if you don't mind, but I can't take it anymore, I'll take some. But until then, Dad, let me write it out. I said, girl, you're the one going through this. If that's how you want to do it, we'll do it. But I said, when it comes to time when Daddy says you're going to take something, you're going to take it anyway. She said, okay, Dad, we'll do that. And so I tell her, it's a pill day, girl. It's a day. So watch this. God said, the tie lifted up, and his train fills the temple. I remember when Princess Diana got married. Do you remember all those people walking behind her with that big old train? I mean, it was so glorious, all that was going on. Can you imagine God's train? His train actually represents his influence and his power. So I want you to think about something. His power is everywhere. It reaches everywhere. I love this. We cannot escape God. We cannot hide from God. We cannot run from God. Sooner or later, he's going to get you. Amen? You know, there's that song, I Fought the Law and the Law Won. When Eddie cut his hand, Eddie was singing, I Fought the Saul and the Saul Won. Remember that, Eddie? Well, I used to sing, I Fought the Lord and the Lord Won. Amen? God's in control. So I told you, it's not going to be long. That's what gets you. Watch this. Think about this. He is holy. Now, we talked about holy. Here we go, back into the old Church of God days. If you didn't have hair down to the ground, and you didn't have sleeves down your arms and whatever, then you weren't considered holy, because holiness was always in the outward. Here's what holiness means. Okay, he is holy. Watch. He is set apart. God is set apart from everyone and everything. He is perfect. He is sinless and is uncompromising. That's what holy is. Now, we cannot be sinless, but we've got a judge and an advocate for us that calls us to be sinless before God, because we stand in the power of the blood. Perfect is to be mature. But God wants us to be different. Amen? To be holy. And now, next, his power is awesome. When he speaks, I'm sorry, I'm allergic to some plastic up here. I'm thinking about the plastic. When he speaks, the whole earth shakes. In his hands, he holds all creation. All creation. He holds our lives. He has the power to do anything, and I do mean anything he wishes to be done. It's going to happen, because our God is so powerful. So that's how it really is. That's it. But now, how are we really? That was pretty cool how God is. Let's talk about us. Y'all ready? Isaiah was the most holy man of his time. Isaiah was God's prophet. Isaiah talked to God's people for God. So here is Isaiah, the most holy man, and he stands before God. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. So here he is. He stands before God, and God, after he sees how God is, he realizes something. Thank you. That was awesome. You ready? How we really are. Do you know we have a tendency to judge other people? Don't y'all shout me now. We have a tendency to judge other people, and we judge them by us. I can promise you, I'm not a very good yardstick. Remember, the last few pictures I took were very bad. I couldn't figure out why they were so bad. And my son later says, I found out why I did. I said, why? He said, it's your face. We judge people by our lives. We judge people by our yardstick. We look at people sometimes and think they're really, not all that great. There was this old cowboy. He was working in construction. He went somewhere. The old guy. And so on Sunday morning, he decided he was going to go into this church. The only one he could find in town was this big old fancy church. So he walks in. And when he walks into the church, there's a hush. Everybody's watching him as he finds a place to sit. As he finds a place to sit, one of the deacons comes to him and escorts him back out. And he said, you're wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and a t-shirt. He said, I think you need to go back out of here and go talk to God, see how God wants you to be dressed in our church. And so he's sitting on the seat, he's going on the steps, he says, I can't believe this, that I've been pulled out of here wearing a cowboy hat and boots and all that. And so all of a sudden God appears beside him. He says, God, did you hear what they said to me? He said, yes. He said, tell me I should talk to you to find out how I should dress to go in there. And God says, I don't know, I've never been in there. Okay. Got a good one out of that. Here you go. There you go. Number one, we're hindered. Woe is me, from undone. Here's the holiest man at that time in the home area, and he's wondering, how can he stand before God? Here he sees a high and lifted up Almighty God, and here we are, low and dirty and weak. So he found out that we are hindered. Not only hindered, but we're hopeless. He said, because I'm a man of unclean lips. When we stand before God, our condition is magnified. We see ourselves as God sees us. Come on. And also, we're helpless. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people of unclean lips. Everybody's born into sin. There's no one here to turn to when it comes to God like this. We stand alone before God. Believe me, right now, look at this. I wrote this down there. Ready? Get ready. Even Trump and Biden. Stand at the same level we stand. At the cross. So, get ready. I'm almost through. The same one who reveals our condition heals our condition. Because he loves us too much to leave us the way he found us. Amen. I thank God for that. That he will not leave me like he found me. So, get ready. The Bible said, then one of the seraphims flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. God touches us in order we can touch others. Right now, in this world, in this crazy, crazy, crazy world, it's time for us. We don't have to go out and beat people up over the head and say, I'm a Christian, blah, blah, blah. Just live the life before them. If you live the life before them, guess what? They'll come to you and ask you. Amen? I've had people all the time at Fountain, had people at Procter & Gamble. They come up and ask me, can I talk to you for a minute? You would not believe the people at Fountain that I climbed in the boats so we could be apart from other people and pray them through to salvation or pray with them about things that were going on in their life. Or there are some people trying to get me and say, I'm coming by and say, can you stop for a minute? And I'd stop and I'd say, what's your problem? And he points at a person. He says, take them out of the dock for a few minutes. Just take them out for a few minutes, please. I know what that meant. Talk to them. And so I'd take them out and I would talk to them and tell them how God, find out what the problem was, and then we would talk about God. His touch affected Isaiah's attitude too. Watch this. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as messenger to his people? Who will go for us? He said, here I am. Send me. So let's read this again. I want to read it in the New Living Translation. And I'm getting ready. Getting ready to close. Get ready. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed, and your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Look at that. Let me just stop here for a second. How many know, literally know, that you're not an accident with God?
Amen.
How many realize that even where you're working now is not an accident with God? I remember I went to Fountain. My wife was sick. I needed just to take a break, and so I went to Fountain. And actually, I brought my resume, but I was just trying to get in because I knew an electrician. I tried to get in as an electrician, and they immediately sent me to engineering. And they said, I'm not hired as an engineer. I went to be an electrician. But if I'd have been an electrician, I'd have been in one boat all day in one area. But instead, I was hired as an engineer, and I was hired as one kind of engineer, a production engineer, that day. The next day, and I also got there working with production. And the next day, the vice president of engineering came to me and said, scratch that, that's not what you're doing. I need you to be the industrial engineer. I need you to talk to all these people. I need you to go throughout this plant and talk to everybody every day. And at the time, it kind of worried me because I said, this ain't cool. I'm just going to be an electrician, be on a little spot, and not have anybody bother me and not bother anybody else. And now, he put me out here and I talked to everybody. I didn't realize what God was doing. God was setting the platform for a very powerful ministry that I had there. Now, if I had a bad attitude, then God couldn't use me. Now, my question is, how many realize that where you're working at today or what you're doing today is your platform, and God wants to use you in that place? That's why Satan tries so hard to ruin our attitudes. That's why he tries so hard to get at us. Because whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, that's your platform, and God wants to be used. He wants to use you, here I am, send me. He wants to use you to propel him. So, God will drop you off in a spot that you don't want to be dropped off in. Amen? I've been dropped off in a few spots I really didn't want to be dropped off in. But I went to the fountain. I had no idea I was going to be dropped off before I got dropped off. I was just trying to be an electrician. I had no idea how it was going to turn out. Well, I thank God that he dropped me the way he dropped me there. So let's see this. Through God, we are repaired, we are prepared, and we're propelled. God takes us, and he does something special in us, and God uses us right where we're at. So, watch this. Who shall I send? He looked up and he saw God as he was. He looked in and saw himself as he was. He looked out and saw others as they are. What would happen this year in this crazy mess we got going on if you could view your life circumstances as a platform? And God used you in a very powerful way. I've told this story before, but it just keeps coming to me. I was working at Procter & Gamble, and this was in my early years of ministry, and I was still trying to develop, and I was trying to get things straight, and I was trying to be very careful. God, please don't put me in rough spots right now. I really don't want to be in bad, bad rough spots. And there was a woman there that wound up being in charge of the shop. This woman was, believe it or not, she was a big woman. I mean, she's like a WWF wrestler. And she's about that tall. And she's just big. I'm not talking about fat. She's big and gruff and rough. And I really didn't like being around her because she always wanted to talk junk about God, talk junk about me, and talk junk about it. You know, anybody trying to be good. And they put her in charge of the shop. And I said, Lord, do you know what you're doing? So Saturday came, and this woman here, I'd get around her, and I'd have to put up with all kinds of women. She'd run her mouth constantly to me and about me. And I tried to hold my cool, not go back, not fight back, just let God handle it. And one Saturday, we had a downtime, and in the downtime, we had three football fields of conveyors. The conveyors. And my job, because I've been doing this, I was there from the very beginning of these conveyors, my job was to train other people when we had shutdowns. Well, during this shutdown, they said, I heard them talking, and they were talking, signing people. I'm just sitting there waiting for them to sign. And they said, and I told this woman's name, said, since you're in charge of the shop now, we need you to learn conveyor system. and all the motors and the computers. And so I'm just sitting there minding my own business. I was hoping they were going to put me in the back somewhere to work on the computers and stuff like there. And it said, David? I said, yes, sir. I said, we want you to show up. You're going to teach her for the next 10 hours. You're going to be teaching her. And I said, I walked in the bathroom and I said, God, did you see what they just did? And we were in the JLG. Y'all guys have been in JLGs. The cakes aren't that big. Two people, three people at the most. So we're in JLG all day long, 8 to 10 hours we're in this JLG. And we're up in the air, 30 foot in the air. And I just tried to be real quiet and just, you know, just keep, you know, because I knew she got started running her mouth right from the very beginning. Got in that cage with me and started running her mouth. I said, God, you got to help me because I'm going to let her hold it. Before long, I was just like, you got to help me, God. And she asked me, she said, out of nowhere, she said something about somebody in her family was sick. And they need prayer. And I began telling about Daniel and how Daniel was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at 1 year old and how God healed him that day. The day after he'd been diagnosed, God healed him. And she said, come on now, tell me that again. Tell me. And we started, that woman who was so mean to me for that 10 hours kept asking me about God. So I was showing her how to do the conveyor. So I said, oh, we got to do this. And she kept asking about God. So I tell her something about God, and I'll do this. And I tell her something about God, and then we would do this. And you know what? That woman became one of my best friends that day. You know what? That platform that God used to convert her was at JLG, 30 foot in the air, where nobody else could get in the way. Nobody else could hinder us. It was just me and her. Nobody could hinder us. Nobody could get in, just us. And we're in a big old building all by ourselves. And God said, I'm going to take her and I'm going to put her right there and I'm going to put you right there and nobody's going to get in the way and this is going to be a platform. So you've got a choice. You can clam up or you can let God let me use you. And so that day, that woman found peace with God. I'm here to tell you, when you let God be God and you realize that every day, God wants to use you. Every day, God wants to use you. Something special will happen. Everybody stand up. Randy, come here and play something softer, brother. Everybody stand. Bow your head, please. Close your eyes. Now is not the time to become afraid of what's going on around us. Now is the time to let God use you. Because I promise you, people are watching you. They're watching. They're seeing what you're saying. They're seeing what you're doing. And I can tell you, whether you believe it or not, there's a whole lot more people looking at you than you would ever imagine. And they're getting their cues. And you can bring peace and comfort. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, the very first thing I always ask, if you're here today and you don't know God as your personal Savior, Jesus is your personal Savior, or you're not as close to Him as you used to be, you find yourself wandering and drifting because you didn't realize that your life is a platform and God wants to use you wherever you're at. So either you don't know Him or you're not where you used to be and you want to get back. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you slip that hand up quickly? You just slip it up quickly. Maybe you're here and your focus has got broken. All the junk going on around. Focus got broken. Then you find yourself getting angry, even disturbed at what's going on, not realizing that God's still in control. And God can still use you in the midst of all this junk. I'm talking to you right now that your focus got blurry, but you're asking God to help you get your focus back on Him. Would you raise that hand? Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you.
We thank you.
That you love us.
That you love us.
We thank you.
We thank you.
That you love us so much.
You love us so much.
That you put your life on the line for us.
Put your life on the line.
Father,
Father,
I ask you.
Right now.
To touch. To
help us.
Draw close to you. Closer than we've ever been. And we'll thank you for it. We ask you, God, right now. To minister to us. And help us.
And help us.
Help us to be all you want us to be.
To be all you want us to be.
And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God is awesome. And God is looking. God is looking. And I mean this. God is looking for somebody he can use. And you know what? I remember one time that on third shift. How many's ever worked third shift? How many's ever got ill while you're on third shift? I used to stay ill on third shift, okay, because I couldn't sleep in the daytime. I remember one night, back then we didn't have all this 24-hour day, 7-day a week Christian music. We only had one night a week. One night. Williamson Station. It was the gospel music town. And I remember I was sitting on the floor with Beverly, and DC was, he was a little over a year old. We're sitting there, third shift, I'm ill, and I start barking. Beverly says, you quit barking. And I said, I'm not barking. She said, yes, you are. This is never a fight. This is the gospel music time. Another time it came on all week. This is the gospel music. We're arguing. And DC's a little over a year old, like a year and a half. He reaches over and grabs my hand. Reaches over and grabs Beverly's hand. About a year and a half, at least. And he said, pray. Talk about a heart getting broken. And so, we prayed, we got there praying, I looked over at Beverly, and I said, I'm so sorry, I'm just ill, and I didn't spread out over here, and I'm sorry. I looked over at DC, and I picked him up, and I kissed him, and I said, I'm sorry, buddy. I won't do that again. Well, it's amazing how God used that little bitty fellow. With a preacher on one side, and the preacher's wife on the other, arguing over that gospel music tonight. God is so good. Get your focus back. So I keep hearing, get your focus back. So some of y'all, if that's going to happen, you're going to need to turn off the news. Some of us watch news 24 hours a day. You know what? You lose your focus. Turn it off. Just watch it every now and then. Just watch it every now and then and turn it off. Watch it every now and then and turn it off because you'll lose your focus. Just have to find out what's going on by reputable, what you consider reputable and legal alone, and then find some way to praise God for a while. It'll help you. I promise you, it will help you. That's what I have to do. Amen. Because if I don't, I can see the stuff and just drives me nuts. Everybody's heart and mind clear? Sure. Brother Steve, you just miss us in prayer, please.
Father God, we just pray thank you for being here. Lord, we thank you so much.